So we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila Chapter 5. I will start off this lecture and then Madhav Maharaj will complete it. Two Swamis. Sai Krishna Navadipa Sri Chaitanya Chandra Sai Balaram Sangha Sri Nityananda. That original Lord Krishna appeared in Navadvipa as Lord Chaitanya, and Balaram appeared along with him as Lord Nityananda. May Sri Nityananda Ram be the object of my constant remembrance. Sankarsan, Seshanaga and the Vishnu who lie on the Garnet Ocean, Garba Ocean and Ocean of Milk are his plenary portions of his plenary portions. So, in this way, the tattva of Lord Nityananda is being described. It is said that Lord Nityananda is none other than Balaram, the first expansion of Lord Krishna. Balaram, the Adi Guru, the original spiritual master. Why? Because he is the first servant of the Supreme Lord. It is said Lord Krishna is Sevya Bhagavan, the one who is served. The Lord who is served. And Lord Balaram is Sevak Bhagavan, the servitor, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his form as the servant. So therefore Balaram is the Adi Guru, the original spiritual master, because he is the original servant of the Supreme Lord. In this way Balaram is showing us how to serve Lord Krishna. And Balaram is serving Krishna then in many ways. He expands himself in the form of Mahasankarsan, and then in the various Vishnu forms, Karana Daksai Vishnu, Garbha Daksai Vishnu, Ksiru Daksai Vishnu, or Mahavishnu is Karana Daksai Vishnu. From the portholes of his body all the universes come. Garbha Daksai Vishnu, the one who enters into the universes. Ksiru Daksai Vishnu, lying on the ocean of milk, and the super soul within the heart of all living beings. All extensions of Balaram. And then Shesha. Shesha is serving the Lord in so many ways, because Lord Shesha, he becomes the bed of the Lord, he becomes the seat of the Lord, he becomes the shoes of the Lord, the place, the plate of the Lord, he becomes the instruments that are being used in glorifying the Lord in this way. When these mardangas were first made by the devotees in America, they were called Balaram Mardanga. Still called Balaram Mardanga. Because it is Lord Balaram who expands himself into the mardanga and into the kartals and so on. In this way, Lord Balaram is serving Lord Krishna in unlimited ways. Lord Balaram sustains everything for the pleasure of the Lord. Even Vrindavan, so it's mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Even the holy dham, Sri Vrindavan, is actually the expansion of the energy of Lord Balaram. So in this way, Lord Balaram is sustaining everything. Said in five different ways, he is serving the Lord in five expansions. Mahasankarsan, the three Vishnu deities, and Sesha. This is how this is the tattva of Lord Nityananda. Just so that we sort of understand who we are dealing with. It is Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami, the secretary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who in his diary first identified Lord Nityananda and who explained the exact tattva of Lord Nityananda. It is also Swarup Damodar Goswami who for the first time spoke of Panchatattva, because where does that come from? That there is a Panchatattva, that the Supreme Lord appears in five features. Swarup Damodar Goswami is none other than Lalita Devi, and therefore very intimate to Radha and Krishna, or Lord Chaitanya, and therefore deeply understanding the nature of the truth of the Supreme Lord. Um, Then, Lord Nityananda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the mood of serving the Supreme Lord, Lord Chaitanya. That Lord Nityananda is said to be very ecstatic. Here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is described that the happiness that Lord Nityananda experiences is greater than the happiness that Lord Chaitanya is experiencing. Because the pleasure in serving Krishna is greater than any pleasure that one may find in any other way. It is the greatest. And therefore it is said that Lord Nityananda is always in an intoxicated state. He is drunk. Lord Nityananda is drunk with love of God. So much intoxicated with love of God, he cannot even see properly. It is that therefore Lord Nityananda cannot see who is qualified, who is not qualified. And therefore, whenever it moves, he gives it the mercy. Right? In fact, not even when it moves, because Lord Nityananda is even giving the mercy to the stones. Pashu pakke juri pashna vidare. Lord Nityananda is giving the mercy to the birds, he's giving it to the stones. Stones will melt by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So in this way, Lord Nityananda is very merciful. He gives the mercy to those who are not at all qualified. That is his nature. He knows the ways of the lowest man and somehow or other gives them the mercy. There is no doubt that we who have all been seriously affected by the age of Kali are recipients of the mercy of Lord Nityananda. How else would it be possible? How else would it be possible that we would be here? There's no question that we could have been where we are now without the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So we can appreciate that how Lord Nityananda is most instrumental in our life. One might say, well, but I have not seen Lord Nityananda. I have not met Lord Nityananda. We may not have perceived Lord Nityananda due to the fact that our eyes are covered with false ego. But that doesn't mean that the mercy of Lord Nityananda is not available in our life. Lord Nityananda indeed has made all the arrangements for us that somehow or other we are here in this association, that we are eligible to receive the mercy of the Vaishnavas, because otherwise no chance. No chance. Lord Nityananda, it is said that by chanting the name of Lord Nityananda, one immediately tastes bliss. It is said, therefore, before chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one must chant the Panchatattva Mantra. Because by chanting the names of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, one very quickly gets a taste of ecstasy. Then one can chant Hare Krishna. So, we depend in many ways on Lord Nityananda. By assisting Lord Nityananda in serving the Supreme Lord, we are certainly getting the mercy of the Lord. So that is very important. Then I wanted to read a little bit from a particular pastime, because Lord, it is said that once a great servant of Lord Nityananda, Minikatan Rahandas, came to the house of Krishna. He was carrying a flute at the time, and he was always crying many tears of ecstatic love. He was such an exalted devotee that everyone was respecting him and offering obeisances to him, but one person in the assembly was not interested in offering any respect to him. It upset him. Not that he was not respected, but he took it that by not respecting me, he's actually not having any respect for Lord Nityananda, since I'm the servant of Lord Nityananda. He doesn't respect Lord Nityananda. So then he became very disturbed and upset. Subsequently, the brother of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he also had a major problem, because he could accept Lord Chaitanya, but he could not accept Lord Nityananda. And he had absolutely no faith in Lord Nityananda, and therefore also no respect for Minakatan Ram. Thus, Sri Ramdas broke his flute in anger and went away. And at that time, my brother fell down. I've thus described the power of the servants of Lord Nityananda. Now I shall describe another characteristic of his mercy. That night, Lord Nityananda appeared to me in a dream because of my good quality in chastising my brother. In the village of Jamadpur, which is near Naihati, Lord Nityananda appeared to me in a dream. I fell at his feet, offering my obeisances, and he then placed his own lotus feet upon my head. "Arise! Get up!" he told me again and again. Upon rising, I was greatly astonished to see his beauty. He had a glossy, blackish complexion, and his tall, strong, heroic stature made him seem like Cupid himself. He has beautifully formed hands, arms and legs, and eyes like lotus flower. He wore a silk cloth with a silk turban on his head. He wore golden earrings on his ears and golden armlets and bangles. He wore tinkling anklets on his feet and a garland of flowers around his neck. His body was anointed with sandalwood pulp, and he was nicely decorated with tilak. His movements surpassed those of a maddened elephant. His face was more beautiful than millions upon millions of moons, and his teeth were like pomegranate seeds because of chewing metal. His body moved to and fro, right and left, for he was absorbed in ecstasy. He chanted, "Krishna, Krishna," in a deep voice. His red stick moving in his hand, he seemed like a maddened lion. All around the four sides of his feet were bumblebees. His devotees, dressed like coward boys, surrounded his feet like so many bees, and also chanted, "Krishna, Krishna," absorbed in ecstatic love. Some of them played horns and flutes, and others danced and sang. Some of them offered betel nuts, and others waved chamara fans about him. Thus, I saw such opulence in Lord Nityananda Swarup. His wonderful form, qualities and pastimes are all transcendental. I was overwhelmed with transcendental ecstasy, not knowing anything else. Then Lord Nityananda smiled and spoke to me as follows. "Oh, my dear Krishnadas, do not be afraid. Go to Vrindavan, for there you will attain all things." So in this description, we got a little darshan of Lord Nityananda, whose complexion is blackish, sometimes referred to as rakta kalevaram, blackish but with a reddish glow. And that Lord Nityananda, surrounded by many ecstatic devotees who are all in the moods of coward boys, some blowing conch shells, playing flutes, dancing around his lotus feet, that Lord Nityananda is carrying a reddish iron stick, and that stick he whirls around very expertly, like a coward boy, Lord Nityananda. It is said that it was Lord Chaitanya who took Lord Nityananda with him after he took sannyas, and then Lord Nityananda accompanied Lord Chaitanya to Jagannath Puri. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for most of his early life, had remained in a hidden form. It was not known that he was the Supreme Lord. Only in the last 1.5 years of his Navadvipa Lila did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reveal his transcendental identity to the devotees. Only at that time he himself began to publicly act like a devotee. Prior to that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was acting like a learned Sanskrit scholar. At the time that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to manifest his identity as a devotee, during that time Lord Nityananda joined him. Lord Nityananda had all along been traveling around different holy places and so on. It is said that then when Lord Nityananda accompanied Lord Chaitanya to Jagannath Puri, that then in Jagannath Puri, so many ecstatic pastimes were going on, and Lord Nityananda was always acting as the servant of Lord Chaitanya, catching him. When Lord Chaitanya would jump in the kirtan, he would jump very, very high, in great ecstasy, way above anyone else. And then sometimes he would just crash to the ground, so Lord Nityananda would catch him. He would dance next to him and be quick to catch him and make sure that Lord Chaitanya would not shatter his bones. Then, one day, Lord Chaitanya ordered Lord Nityananda to go to Bengal to preach Krishna consciousness. So Nityananda didn't want to go, but Lord Chaitanya convinced him strongly, and he went along with some associates. So it is described in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. The Chaitanya Bhagavat is the book that describes the most about Lord Nityananda. It is there where we hear about Lord Nityananda's childhood pastimes. It is there where we hear about Lord Nityananda in Navadvip, how he was ecstatic, how he just jumped in the Ganga, and how he beat up the crocodiles that were there in the rainy season. And up to the day of today, the crocodiles have not returned. They tell their children, and from generation to generation, they're warning, don't go into the Ganga. It's very good there. So Lord Nityananda has cleared the Ganga for the devotees. And in this way, the Navadvipa pastimes were being performed. Then from Puri, Lord Nityananda was sent to Bengal, and he went with a group of devotees. There was Parameshwar and Ram Aviram, a great devotee of Lord Nityananda. And they went, and as they left Puri, it was a little difficult for them to move along because they had an ecstatic kirtan, and the kirtan got so ecstatic that they got carried away. So Ram Aviram got so much into the mood of Krishna, Krishna, that he took a three-bent form, just like Krishna, and he stood there like that, posed just as Krishna, for 9 hours. And the devotees just had an ecstatic kirtan around him for 9 hours. And then they sort of moved along the way, on the way to Bengal. Unfortunately, they missed the turnoff, right? And they went 10 kilometers too far, and then they asked somebody the road to Bengal. Bengal, that way. Yeah. And then they went back, and again they missed the turnoff by 20 kilometers. And this way, it took a long time. It took a long time for them to eventually reach Bengal. But the ecstasy that the associates of Lord Nityananda displayed was extraordinary. In Bengal, they came to Panihati and pastimes took place there that I will not enter into. But Lord Nityananda began to preach all throughout Bengal. It was Lord Nityananda who actually spread Krishna consciousness all over Bengal. It was Lord Nityananda who did it through his ecstatic sankirtan. If Lord Nityananda preached in any way, then it was in kirtan. It is described that he had a kirtan party that would just attract people. People would disappear into this kirtan party. They would come and look and then sort of get swept up, and that was it. And then someone was missing from the village. So everyone says, what happened? Our uncle hasn't come back, he's missing. So they also came to look for the uncle, and then they also went missing. And in this way, whole villages disappeared into the kirtan of Lord Nityananda. And there was a group of boys, young kids, and they were so fired up, and they would just dance and dance and dance in ecstasy, and they kept on dancing for 30 days, no prasadam, non-stop. They were just dancing non-stop. It said that these boys got so fired up at one point that they ripped trees out of the ground. Like that. And others used to enter into the trees and dance on the branches that were sticking out from the trees. Some men were dancing on the thin twigs, and they didn't break. All by the special mercy of Lord Nityananda. So that kirtan was quite something. One devotee of Lord Nityananda was Udaharan Dutta, who was a great, great devotee, and he was also quite wealthy. He was Nityananda. It's allowed today. Can scream loud, it's okay. But you have to say, Vibhav. Try Vibhav. So, Lord Nityananda had this great devotee, Udaharan Thakur. He was such a devotee, and he was from a Suvarna Varnik background. They are generally involved with jewelry and gold. So he was wealthy. He had lots of jewels, and he gave many to Lord Nityananda, who decorated himself very opulently with all these jewels. Jewels everywhere, all over. Wearing silks and bluish, very opulently dressed, Lord Nityananda certainly did not look like a sannyasi. Lord Nityananda also was not a sannyasi. Some say that Lord Nityananda was a sannyasi, and that then when he was in Jagannath Puri, that Lord Chaitanya asked him to go and preach in Bengal and to get married, and that he gave up his sannyas. I read it the other day in print in one book. And this is misinformation, because Lord Nityananda never took formally sannyas. Although he acted renounced, he was not a sannyasi. He did not formally take sannyas. And later, he married in Bengal. He married these two daughters of Suryadas Narakela, Suryadas Sarakela. He married them, Janava and Vasudha. So actually, he only wanted to accept Janava, one of the two. Right? The second one, he didn't really want to accept, but then on the marriage feast, the father was pushing. And then, at one point, while she was serving prasadam, she manifested two extra hands by which she, when her sari slipped off her head, then as she was serving, suddenly she had two extra hands to pull back the sari. So then Nityananda decided to accept her also. So in this way, Lord Nityananda wound up with two wives. So Lord Nityananda was married, so it was not unbefitting for him to decorate himself nicely with silk turbans, multicolored and very opulent jewelry and so on. Of course, Chaitanya Bhagavat is describing how Lord Nityananda got attracted some robbers who were trying to steal the jewelry. Was not so successful. These robbers tried several times and followed Lord Nityananda, but each time there were problems. The first, they came on the dark moon night with sharp swords and daggers and other nasty weapons ready to attack. But then just on the first night, as they were lying in ambush waiting, they fell asleep. That was the first time the mists. They accused each other, but what to say. Anyway, they tried again. The second time they tried, on a dark moon night, they came to a house where Lord Nityananda stayed with his associates. And suddenly, there were these huge soldiers walking around the house, up and down. Big monsters of soldiers, something like Bhakta's size, but a little younger and stronger. So, huge. So that was they decided to wait and not attack that particular time. The third time they tried, again some weeks later, in the middle of the night they went blind and they fell in a ditch and they broke bones and they just got hurt and scratched by thorns and it was too much. So then the leader of the dacoits, who was a fallen Brahmana, realized that actually this is no longer ordinary. We have been following this Nityananda. He is an amazing personality. He is not an ordinary personality. He is a divine personality. He is the supreme personality of Godhead. And this leader of the dacoits then surrendered to Lord Nityananda. And it is said that each time, from time to time, this leader of the dacoits, people were afraid of him. He looked dark, a guna. When he would, from time to time, he would come and he would bring other people like himself and he would force them to bow down before Lord Nityananda. So it's interesting because when this leader of the dacoits began to preach, he began to preach to his own people, and he brought his own people. So, like this, we find many interesting aspects in the pastimes of Lord Nityananda. We see that Lord Nityananda reaches out to those who have no qualification. He somehow or other gives them the mercy, providing they will never again take up sinful life. The most important story, of course, when Lord Nityananda was sent to Bengal, is that he came across these two drunken brothers who were absolutely totally degraded. They were killing, they were setting fire to people's houses, they raped, they did anything outrageous that one could imagine. So it was Lord Nityananda, together with Haridas Thakur as a preaching partner, who asked these two brothers to chant the holy name. It was Madai who smashed Lord Nityananda with a clay pot on the head. It was Jagai who stopped him after that. I said, no, stop. It was Jagai who showed a little bit of soft-heartedness. It was Jagai who for a moment protected Lord Nityananda. It was Lord Chaitanya who came with a Sudarshan Chakra ready to cut their heads. Appeared from nowhere, on the spot. It was Lord Chaitanya who was barely stopped by Lord Nityananda, right? Who said, no, not in this incarnation. You came to deliver the most fallen, not to kill the demons, but to deliver them. Then Lord Chaitanya embraced, when he heard that Jagai, Lord Nityananda said, Jagai has saved me. He said, Then Lord Nityananda, then Lord Chaitanya became very pleased, picked up Jagai. Now both the brothers were shaking on the ground, seeing the impending death in front of them, Sudarshan Chakra and everything. They were shaking on the ground. Lord Chaitanya just picked up this Jagai and embraced him. In Chaitanya Bhagavat it is said that then all the sins of Jagai entered into the body of Lord Chaitanya, and for a moment his body became blackish. And he reminded people of someone at that moment. And then again he resumed his original golden color. And but Madai, no mercy for Madai. But we have performed all the same activities. You gave it to him and not to me. Never to you, because you have offended Lord Nityananda. To you I will not give. So Madai again tried. But Lord Chaitanya said, no, I cannot give you the mercy. Only Lord Nityananda can forgive you. Then you can get the mercy. So Lord Nityananda forgave him, embraced him, and then Lord Chaitanya also embraced Madai, who then also developed symptoms of love of God. After that time, both the brothers, Jagai and Madai, they were changed. But it is described how Madai, although they were now living as devotees and so on, and although Lord Nityananda had forgiven him, Madai could not forgive himself. So this part is very interesting. The Lord may forgive us, but we cannot forgive ourselves. So Madai could not live with himself. He couldn't tolerate it. He just could not forgive himself. It was getting too much. So he asked Lord Nityananda, he fell before Lord Nityananda again, and Lord Nityananda forgave him again. He said, it's all right. He said, my dear Madai, he said, you have to understand that from my perspective, you are just like a child. And whatever a child does, you don't take very serious. He said, so I don't take it very serious at all. Whatever you did. But Madai said, no, but I have committed so many offenses to so many. I can't even remember who I have offended, who I've mistreated. So then, so we can think in the same way. Can we remember who we have offended? Can we remember who we have mistreated? Do we realize that these offenses that we have committed in the past, unknowingly, due to being covered in ignorance, are still blocking us today? Are we sometimes struggling? Are we sometimes feeling blocked, as if we cannot just overcome our material conditioning? Is it because we have committed so many offenses unknowingly, just like Madai? So Lord Nityananda explained to Madai that he should serve the Vaishnavas and asked these two brothers to make a ghat at the base next to the Ganga, and there wash the feet of the Vaishnavas and to bathe in the Ganga to wash off these sinful reactions. So this service of to the Vaishnavas can purify us from offenses that we've unknowingly committed. So this is a very important principle, to somehow or other become the servant of the Vaishnavas, to somehow or other develop that humility to say, okay, I'm simply the servant of the Vaishnavas. Whatever they say, I will accept. Reasonable or unreasonable, I will not object. Whatever the Vaishnavas do, I will just accept it, and I will somehow or other remain a servant. That is my identity. Servant I will remain. Whatever they do, it's up to them. I will remain servant. It was this attitude that Madai developed upon the order of Lord Nityananda. It is this attitude that is required if we really want to overcome those offenses that are now still blocking us from getting love of God. It is so difficult so many times we feel, but I'm trying so hard and I'm not making any advancement. I'm for so many years. Slowly growing old. Still no love of God. Still haven't changed a bit. Still the same old one I was the day I came. Rotten to the core. Same old anarthas, same old sinful thoughts have not disappeared after all this time. What is the reason? What is the reason? We have performed so much devotional service. Shouldn't we become purified by this devotional service? But here every morning, Bhautan Manadi Karishavana Kirtanam, we are chanting that one can chant the holy name of the Lord for millions of lifetimes and one will not make advancement if one is not free from offenses. So, therefore, we must overcome these offenses in our heart by being the servant of the Vaishnavas. This is the most important point in the whole pastime of Jagai and Madai. That the way to rectify that mentality of Jagai and Madai was to become a servant. Prabhupada said, Jagai and Madai, they were exceptional in their time. But Prabhupada said, but now the whole population has become Jagai and Madai. In Australia we don't say Jagai and Madai, we say Jabbo, right? Or something like that. But it's the same thing, right? There's not much different. The whole world is now like that. So, therefore, we have to take it upon ourselves to follow in the footsteps of Jagai and Madai. The other day, I'll conclude with that. The other day, we had gathered for a European Sankirtan festival, and there Kavichanda Maharaj was also present. And he was, we had been speaking already that without the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you can't do anything without the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Then it had been said, yes, but how do you get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya? Through the mercy of Lord Nityananda, undoubtedly. You have to go through Lord Nityananda. Okay, but how do you get the mercy of Lord Nityananda? Then Maharaj said, through the mercy of Jagai and Madai. So he got it from Prabhupada. Prabhupada said that. It's not recorded in the folio, but Prabhupada did say it. According to Kavichanda Maharaj heard it, and Giriraj Maharaj confirmed it. Two is enough. So, the story is bona fide. We accept it. It's confirmed. Prabhupada said it. To get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you have to get the mercy of Jagai and Madai. How do you get the mercy of Jagai and Madai? So, this is my question to you. Preaching to the most fallen. Uh-huh. And then, preaching to the most fallen, he says. Being servant, okay, let's take it. Serve the Vaishnava. Jagai and Madai, focus on Jagai and Madai, okay? Yeah. We have to, how to get the mercy of Jagai and Madai? Jagai and Madai. What? Go out and argue now. Okay. How to get the. Param.
Given there any opportunity to engage in Krishna service.
That's it, you know, it's like, okay, someone wants to say something, yes, go on.
A
Four defenses.
If we want the mercy of Jagai and Madai, we first have to make them devotees. Because Jagai and Madai, they are really not in a condition to give any mercy. They're walking around with bottles and whatnot. Right? So somehow or other, we have to make them devotees. It's not easy. It's going to be, as Prabhupada said, gallons of blood, sweat. It's going to be very hard to make Jagai and Madai devotees. But somehow or other, we must make all the Jagais and all the Madais devotees. And if we do, once they are devotees, then they'll give us mercy by their appreciation. That appreciation will be their mercy. And that will carry us. So it's not so easy to get the mercy of Jagai and Madai. It's not just, oh, Jagai and Madai, please give me your mercy. No, it's a little more than that, you know. Somehow or other, make them devotees. Yes, to Harinam. Yes, in so many ways. But somehow or other, make them devotees. That's how we get the mercy of Jagai and Madai. So that's quite a meditation. And that's really how to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, actually. So considering that, we must do something to spread the mercy. So I heard Harinama's schedule. I'm going to be there in spirit, but not in body, because body will be on a plane. What to do? That's very nice. Because surely, and if there's one person who's interested, try and get that person somehow or other. Tell them it's a special day today. You must come. And just on that special day, make sure you get some prasadam. I hope you carry lots of prasadam with you on this day on that Harinam, because it must be like a special one, full of abundant mercy. It must just overflow. That's the mercy of Lord Nityananda. It's overflowing. I must end and give a little time to Maharaj. Si si chalanda tayorasi maha mahotsava ki.